And now it's time for the markets from JMIS. Andrew Callagher is back with us. Hi, Andrew.
Yeah, morning, Larry.
So what's happening with oil and gold?
Yeah, look, we haven't really talked about oil and gold lately, but with all the sort of geopolitical tensions and Hurricane Harvey, I think it's time to do a quick update of the two commodities. And just looking at the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey, it looks now like about half the refining, the oil refining capacity along the Gulf Coast could be up and running before the end of this week, actually, possibly within the next 24 hours. So that's going to alleviate some concerns in the US about gasoline shortages. Now, the country's, the US's largest refinery, a place called Motiva, that's getting close to resuming operation as well. But you do just need to step back and get a bit of context here, Larry. I mean, yesterday I read that if the Houston area around was regarded as a single economic unit, it would be the 23rd largest country in the world. It's the fourth largest city in the US. It's an enormous area, so the impacts are pretty big. Now, that refining capacity has seen a spike in the oil price and the spike in the West Texas Intermediate. Now, I know this seems a bit counterintuitive, but the price of oil West Texas Intermediate dropped back when the refining capacity started shutting down because you couldn't do anything with your oil. So there was nowhere to sell the oil to, but it pushed the gasoline prices up. We're starting to get some normalization there, but there's still 1.4 million barrels per day of refining capacity that could be offline for about another week. But on balance, I read overnight that Goldman Sachs estimate that the impact of Harvey will be stronger on the demand side than it will be on the supply side going forward. But do keep an eye out for Hurricane Irma. That's still got the potential to hit Florida. Won't have the same refining issues in that area unless it drifts off to the west, but it will potentially generate another big blow to property and have a hit on short-term demand. So it's hitting insurance and reinsurance shares as well, actually. Gold has surged to its highest level seen in almost a year, $1,334. Now, that's probably all to do with the threat of conflict on the...
Hello, Andrew. All right, we'll get to Andrew. I see we've still got that wonderful piece of technology. We'll get Andrew Callagher from JMIS back in just a moment. Just going more on Irma. So it's the most powerful Atlantic Ocean hurricane in recorded history, and we're going to cover that very shortly as well. Andrew, you're back. So you're talking about the gold price.
Yeah, gold, $1,334. I'm not sure when I cut off, actually, because at this end, Larry, everything's okay. I can hear you.
Yeah, no. You were just launching into the gold price.
Okay, yeah, gold has surged to its highest level in almost a year, and that's probably to do with the threat of conflict on the Korean Peninsula. The interesting thing about the gold, though, Larry, is that we're not seeing quite the surge that you might have expected, and there's perhaps thinking that some of these cryptocurrencies, things like Bitcoin, and people might be going there for some of their sort of hedge against disaster. So not quite the surge that we might have seen, but still gold at a pretty high level.
Okay, now September, Andrew, looks like it could be a volatile month. It's not traditionally a great month for shares, and they seem to be dancing all over the place.
Yeah, I'm just saying, look, we've already had the US's fourth largest city underwater. We've already had these North Korean tensions, but there's a lot going on in September. We've got a number of key central bank discussions on monetary policy. So we've got the US still debating the potential start of that monetary policy normalization. We've got ECB that's in the next 24 hours. We've got the US debt ceiling negotiations that have to a critical deadline before the end of the month. You've got German elections on September the 24th, and of course our elections as well. But yes, September, if you look at all the months since the end of World War II, there's only been 3 months that you've actually had an average loss, and that's February, August and September. Now, I sort of am always a bit sceptical of this sort of analysis because you also see a wide range in outcomes, and actually it's got more to do with the trend at the start of the month than it has with, you know, what you actually see, and the trend is still positive. So I thought, yes, it's traditionally not a great month for shares, but there's also, and there's a heck of a lot going on, but I think you've got to be a little bit careful about that sort of, you know, line-to-line thinking.
Andrew, the Property Institute, they've done a poll showing expectations are waning for house price increases.
Yeah, I just want to draw attention to this. Property Institute New Zealand, they've polled it. It says the real change in sentiment on house prices. A number of people expecting house prices to rise in the next 6 months fallen to 30%. It was at 43% only 3 months ago. Net change, that's risen from 28% to 45%. So definite sentiment shift here. And it's one of my big concerns. If we get a slowdown in residential property, that'll have an impact on economic growth and the implications for that on surpluses. It's one of my hobby horses at the moment, Larry.
Okay, so give us the numbers, Andrew.
Yeah, Dow Jones, 21,831, up 79. S&P 500, 2465. NASDAQ, 6393. FTSE 100, 7354. The Nikkei, down 28, 19,358. Shanghai Composite, 3385. ASX 200, our friends across the Tasman, lost 17 points yesterday, close at 5689. We were up 13 yesterday to close at 7790. New Zealand dollar weaker this morning against the US, 0.7195, against the Aussie, 0.8998, against the euro, 0.6034, against pounds, 0.5514, 78.66 yen. I've already said gold at $1,334, and Brent crude trading at $54.05.
Excellent. Thank you, Andrew. Talk tomorrow, possibly. Andrew Callagher from JMIS.